Hello. Oh my goodness. I am so excited. I am so excited. Oh, we have an exciting guest on Superwomen Can podcast today. I am thrilled. But before we introduce this phenomenal, I tell you, phenomenal woman, I want us to start by reminding you that the Superwomen Can podcast has been set up for successful professional women of color to show up in their full power and authentically lead. As we know, the sad fact is that many women are underrepresented in leadership and boardrooms and even in business, but women of color are showing up all the time in their authentic, powerful selves. Now, we are here to share unique, compelling, and powerful stories that will get you set up to supercharge your success from the ground up. And I cannot wait to introduce you without further ado to over to you.
Hello, my name is Nishika Melton, and I wear many hats as superwomen commonly do. So I am a mother of six. We have a blended family, my husband and I. I am a published author with book number three on the way. I am also a licensed realtor. I own my own real estate firm. I flip houses. I'm a property manager as well as international speaker, wife. I mean, the list goes on, and I am very excited to be here on today.
Wow, fabulous. So we are already compatible as a fellow mother of six. So I had 5 in 5 years, 6 in 7. So yes, I've got six children. So we are going to probably be talking for hours because I'm sure you're going to be able to give, we can share tips, right? And this is not unusual that we wear many hats. As women, we wear so many hats. Please start to tell us more about what has set you apart.
Well, I would say just the realization of being able to put everything in its proper place in my life, in its right lane, so that I am not overwhelmed. Another thing that I do as one of my primary lanes is that I'm a productivity coach. So I help entrepreneurs, nonprofits, ministries simplify productivity so that they can increase their businesses and their bank accounts. And I'm a product of my product. So I have things going on all the time, but because of what I've learned in life, I keep things in their proper lane. I know and I am comfortable with saying no as a complete sentence with a period at the end of it, not a comma or dot. It doesn't continue. And those are skill sets that I had to learn in order to keep myself mentally healthy, emotionally well, to the point that now, even though I have all these things going on, I'm not burnt out. I'm not overwhelmed. I'm not trying to get my life together. It is together, but I'm going higher in purpose and calling.
Wow, I think those who are listening, get your pens out. You're going to need it because I'm going to be taking as many notes as I can. I've got six children, and even without them, I probably could do with some more productivity tips. So you said you've got, I'm going to just try and digest. You've got three books. You've got three books, right? What are the titles of those three books? Tell us that first, and then tell us what's in those books that we need.
So the first title, the first book is called Breaking Free, My Purpose is Waiting on Me. Okay, that's book number one. Book number two, it was actually a collaboration anthology book, and it's called Love, Lead, and Let Go. Book number three, which is coming out, is called Cut the BS, 7 Steps to High Productivity. So that's book number three.
Wow.
Book number one, Breaking Free, My Purpose is Waiting on Me. God gave me that book after I went through my first marriage and divorce. Single mother of three, life turned upside down. I had lost my identity and myself in that marriage, which is not uncommon for a lot of women because we spend so much time trying to fix ourselves. And we think that if we do this, then the marriage will be better. If we do that, you'll get more attention. And I did so much of this and that I lost myself. And in the divorce itself was not bad. The divorce itself was great because it led me to the man that I'm married to now. And it was him that encouraged me. And he was just like, babe, you just need to lay before God and find out why you hit this brick wall. Because I'm doing stuff, you know, because we have kids. So I'm surviving, but I wasn't living. And I definitely wasn't thriving at all. I was straight in survival mode and had not realized that I had actually been in that mode for the majority of my life and did not know it. So that book was just birthed out of breaking the chains, tearing down the walls, removing all the imprints that other people had put on me, and I accepted them. And just really going through the process of finding out who I am supposed to be. And I did it in a way where I tell you my business, but I don't really tell you my business. Like, it's not, you're not going to get all the ins and outs and names and all that kind of stuff. No, this is not reality TVT. But you do get lessons, and it makes you look inward at yourself. If you're ready to do that and ask yourself some hard questions so that you figure out, am I living as the person I was purposed to live as? Or have I been living as somebody else's version? And not, I'm not really content. I'm not really satisfied. I'm not really happy. So that was book number one.
Wow, that's incredible. The book, it's already blown my mind. I want to go out and get that one straight away and to dissect myself. And what was, tell me book number two. Like, this is just...
So book number two was a collaboration book with 9 other authors. And we talked about our lives as women in ministry. So there were women who were pastors' wives, women who were pastors, women who were leadership in ministry, and what we had to endure, and some still enduring in those roles. And we just kept it real, kept it honest, gave testimonies, just real insight of our walk, who and what we encountered. Sometimes the who and the what were one based on how they, you know, people chose to come at us. And again, that was with 9 other women across the country that came together to bring their stories and their testimonies of loving people, leading people, and letting go of the hurt and the disappointment and the frustrations that came with working in ministry.
And then that probably nicely leads us then.
The life of motherhood. This is real life.
Yeah, don't worry too much. We'll cut this bit out. I'll tell her
okay.
to before she cuts it. Okay, so the next question that nicely leads on to your next book, which is probably where we want to get more out of, especially as a mother, business owner, wearing so many hats. Mm-hmm. I want to hear what it is that we can take away. So tell me more. I'm really excited.
So the third book, it's been written. We're just waiting for the cover to be done and the formatting. It's called Cut the BS, 7 Steps to High Productivity. And they're simple steps. I was one of those people that, you know, bought different programs and their online courses, trying to be that highly productive person, getting results and that end result that I felt like I wanted. And I always came to the same conclusion about halfway through the program. I don't want to do all of this. There has got to be a simpler way, a way that makes sense in my mind to be a highly productive person. It does not make sense to me that I have to spend 3 hours before my day starts just to get my day going. Who? I can't. I can't even rationalize it within my being that makes sense. So what I did was I wrote a book based on what I learned. And I guess you could say I was my own guinea pig because I figured out what worked for me. I took tidbits here and there and tweaked them to make them make sense. Because one thing that I've learned about people is that if it doesn't make sense to you, you're not going to do it. It doesn't matter how well it's dressed up, how many pretty bows we put on it. If it doesn't make sense, it's cut, trash, nothing. And so I took bits and pieces talking about time management, talking about simplifying goals, learning how to say no, identifying distractions, all those simple things. But even though they're simple, they're the things that can either shut us down, slow us down, or propel us. And so I put them all in a book, and they're also a part of my coaching program to get folks to that level of high productivity and also to where, what does success look like for you? Because nobody can define that but you. And I've learned that people get up under a lot of quote unquote gurus, and they want to define what success looks like. Social media wants to define what success looks like. And we have all these ridiculous ideals. And it's like, you need to define success for you. Let's work on those goals because that's your reality, and get the ball rolling.
I definitely agree. So you made me think of something. Recently, I've been thinking, should I be the 5 a.m. mum that wakes up at 5 a.m.? And the reason why I was thinking that is I was been trying to wake up. I wake up at 6:30 before the kids. I do prayer. This is my son putting his arm there. I do prayer. And then I was like, I need some more time. And just randomly, I've been waking up at 5 a.m., but just lying there. I'm like, I'm sure I can do something with this time. Like, I can just get up. Because I'm already up, just lying here. There's something I can do. Although just lying there has been quite nice too. And the fact that you said, should I wake up like 3 hours before my kids? What's your take on that? Because I am really convinced that I would benefit from just getting up and getting stuff done and feeling that sense of achievement by waking up a little bit earlier.
Well, for you, I would say there's two things that I'm hearing, and those two things are warring against each other. So there's moments when you naturally wake up at 5 a.m., but you don't actually get up at 5 a.m. because you like laying there. So there's a war going on. Yes, I'm waking up, but I'm not getting up, and there's not a motivation there to actually get up out of the bed because you're enjoying the peace and quiet. And I think there's something in the brain that says, once I start moving, I'm gonna trigger something in my household that says, she's up. And how much will I actually get done? So it becomes a fact and a reality of, there's a difference between waking up and getting up. Do I really want to get up, or do I really want to have that time to just be still and be quiet before I get started with my day? And those are the questions that I would ask you if you were a client, because I hear the war. I hear the war going on. The reality of the motivation. What is the motivation? Is it truly because you want to get things done? Or is it because you're being navigated in that way based off of what social media and other people are saying?
No, thanks.
What is it you're wanting to do it?
Yeah, if it's just me, and I don't know if anyone who's listening in or watching feels the same, is I'd rather do more when I feel like I have the energy, and I have more energy when I wake up. So that's it. But I still want to be in my zen. So it doesn't matter what I do in that time. It doesn't have to be work. It can be
Right.
reflective time. I think I just want to be more purposeful. I want to use that time, even if I say I'm just going to sit there and lay there. It's just got to be more purposeful. And that's it. And I think I'd be quite happy with that, actually. And I don't know how long it would last for, though. Like, this is just recent. So, yeah, this is just recent. I'm going to see if I can put him in. So, I've got my youngest who has joined us today. We've got the youngest super, he's a Superman, Superman Larius. So, I think that's one of the things I'd like to do. But there are other people who are listening and they may be struggling with the war to say, I need to wake up earlier or I need to do more things, especially if we're women and we've got so much to do. So I'm interested in your thoughts for not just me, but anyone who's kind of, like you said, warring with, I want to do more. And the only way I can do it is if I sacrifice something, which is my sleep. What would your take be on that?
It would, first of all, defining that more. Are you wanting that more to be personal time? Is that why you're getting up? Are you trying to work more on your business and be uninterrupted? What are you trying to accomplish? And that more can look different every single day. One of the things that we miss is the fact that you don't have to get up at 5 a.m. every day. You can have a 5 a.m. start 2 or 3 days out of the week based on what your goals are for that day. It doesn't have to be an everyday situation. So we would want to look, or I would want to look at your goals and see, okay, are there days where you feel like I just don't have enough time? Then we would look at, okay, is it the fact that you need to get up earlier? Or is it the fact that you're running off of a calendar and a to-do list? One of the things that I teach is to-do lists are trash. They are absolute garbage. The reason being is because everything on that to-do list, none of it's really that important. And the reason that I know that is because everything rolls. Anything that doesn't get done goes over to the next day, just willy-nilly. We just move it over. Even if you say, well, I'm going to go to the grocery store. If by the end of your list or wherever the grocery store is on your list, you don't feel like going to the grocery store, what do? We order takeout. So you really didn't have to go to the grocery store. So what I teach my clients is if it's worth your time, it goes on your calendar. You don't do a to-do list. No. Trash. Straight calendar. And then I teach my clients how to allot the appropriate amount of time for every task and activity. Because one of the reasons that people get burnt out is because they're not giving themselves enough time to do things. Example. So let's say you have an interview right at 2 o'clock, and that interview goes from 2 to 3. Most people will book their next task at 3 o'clock. However, what I teach is time cushion. You need to give yourself a cushion just in case there are technical issues, just in case somebody's late, just in case the conversation goes really well and you go over. You also need that transition time in between each appointment. If you're a person that goes to the gym, if you work out for 2 hours, the average person will say, I'm going to put on my calendar gym time, 3 to 5, or 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. Well, what you didn't account for was the drive to the gym, changing your clothes after the gym, because you're not going to show up. What you're not going to do is show up to your next appointment sweaty and not together. We're not going to do that. So, changing clothes, taking a shower, and driving to your next appointment, that's at least an additional hour. So that might be a 5 o'clock morning on the mornings that a person would work out. You've got to give yourself cushion because you need the reset time. You need the woosah time and the just in case something happens.
I'm going to have to say, and I've got HR background. I'm also ADHD, neurodiverse. I'm not fantastic at having anything that's not written. So I'm the person that loves to-do lists. You're like trash. I love to-do lists. And I'm gonna have to agree that I have about 20. Okay, you go downstairs and get milk. Go and get milk. My team are gonna do a lot of editing on this one. So I'm probably one of the ones who I will be literally having so many different to-do lists. Although I have found only recently, going back to the way that I used to work when I was in corporate before I had my business, which I'd have a to-do list, but then I had to put in what was priority in my calendar, or it just wouldn't get done. So I completely agree. If it's not in the calendar, it wasn't going to happen. The reality is it wasn't going to happen. I know that. But I needed something to tell me what I needed to do. Otherwise, it just wouldn't be in the calendar either, because I was like, what am I supposed to be doing today? So I'm interested because I know so many people who love to do. I couldn't even imagine. I know you're shaking your head. She's shaking her head right now. I couldn't even imagine not having my to-do list. I just couldn't even imagine it. I can't. And in fact, that is my comfort blanket. I'm literally looking at you, you'd probably be appalled. I mean, there's probably about 50 things on it right now. But that's not the point. The point is that at least I know what I'm supposed to be doing. It's true. And then I can use my to-do list and then plan my calendar, which I love to do now. It's in front of me. I know exactly what I'm supposed to be doing each day. I've started to put cushions in. I do walking time in between. Right, she's looking at me very disappointed.
Oh, yes, the to-do list, if people actually paid attention, to-do lists create stress. Because when you look at that list and see everything that you've got done or that you need to do, and your brain starts saying, how am I going to get all of this done? How am I going to get all of this done? The list keeps getting longer. It never shrinks. It gets longer and longer. And what I teach is that time is productivity's highest currency. Its most valuable currency is time. Because once you spend it, you do not get it back. That you can't get more. No matter what day you're in, there's only 24 hours. Period, dot, and end. And that to-do list gets longer and longer because reality, you're not ever going to get all of that stuff done. That's where the calendar comes in. It is visual. It's time allotted. I've had clients tell me, well, I like to check the stuff off. Check it off in your calendar. Check it off in your calendar.
I love it. It's a dopamine. I think it's a, I can't remember if it's a dopamine hit. I can't remember which hormone it is, but as soon as it ticks off, there's something that makes me feel so satisfied, even if it's wrong. And I actually don't mind how long the to-do list is. I'm just going to pick out the things that I think are important for that week. And everything else I know I can do when I get the opportunity. But it's that tick. I just love to tick. I have to-do lists all over my house. Like, they're everywhere. I know. But one's like a shopping list. One's like a cleaning list. One's like, it's like, you know, honestly, ADHD brains, and I tell you, lists. But also and this is probably an excuse now, but anyone who's got a neurodiversity who is also got short-term processing challenges like I do, I won't remember anything. If I forget to move it from my calendar the next day, I will forget it completely. It is as if it never existed. So it's so important that I have something to refer back to. And the disappointment in her eyes, I feel like I'm being told off by like my mother right now. It's like that mummy look, like, you what? You're not real right now. Like, what
So
have you convinced yourself of?
that's why I tell my clients you need two calendars, a paper calendar and the one on your phone, because you can set an alarm on your phone to go off to give you those reminders that you need to help you transition to the next task. And you can put all the, because it's so funny that you said that you know you'll get to it when you have the opportunity. Opportunity is on vacation. It is not coming for that to-do list. It is not coming at all.
I feel like I'm getting really schooled here, but I know that I am not the only one who is a lover of to-do lists. And in fact, I love, but I'm ready to admit, I'm ready for change. Like, maybe people listening right now, I'm ready to convert, but I need to be convinced. How can I do this? How can I convert? How can you convert a person who loves it? Like, I have diaries everywhere that I might put one word here, one word there. How can you convert someone like myself who may be listening as well? Because I'm not too sure I can convert. Like, how do you do that from something that you've done your whole career, 20 odd years?
So let me ask you this question. What are some adjectives that you would use to describe your life, your day? Let's start with the day, even go broad like life.
My day, I think structured. I think very structured. I think that one of the things that I love is structure. If it goes outside of that structure, I don't remember what I'm supposed to be doing. I get a lot of anxiety. I feel like I'm not in control. So if I can create structure, so I do agree with having my calendar. One of the ones I use is just a Google calendar. It's so bright. I have it all colored. It tells me what I'm supposed to be doing. That works so well for me. And having it in front of me, like on a bigger screen, I can see it. So structure works. Structure works by far. So I feel like I'm organized. I have me time. I love my life. I do. I haven't always, when I don't have structure, it's just chaos. It's chaos. If I don't put anything in my calendar and it's just a chaos day, I think it's chaos.
So you're already more than halfway there.
Oh, thank you. Thank God. She smiled at me, by the way. For those who are listening, she broke a little bit of a smile. I think I might have pleased you a little bit.
You're more than halfway there because you like structure.
Indeed.
And you're using a calendar. But I don't know if you, are you familiar with Charlie Brown?
No.
Okay, there's a character on Charlie Brown, and you can look it up after we get off. His name, I think, is Lionel or Linus.
Oh, yeah.
He walks around with a security blanket. No matter what, he has his security blanket. And from what I'm gathering, the to-do list all over, even though the calendar is bright, it sounds like you're using time and color blocking on your Google Calendar, but the to-do list is the security blanket. That's a comfortable place.
It is. If you could diagnose me, it is. Yeah.
So what I would say is that you would have to decide how structured you want your life to be, because there are levels. And to-do lists don't represent structure. They represent, I get to it when I can. That's not structure. That's fly by the seat of your pants. See, here we are with that war again. Wake up, get up. To-do list, calendar. I am seeing a pattern. So that would be the beginning of our conversation. How many other wars are taking place where there's a little clash going on? Because it sounds like you love structure.
Absolutely. Love structure, definitely. I just need more structure. Yeah. So the only structure is where it cannot be controlled. Children. I've got six children, very young children. And under no circumstances, no matter how much I try to control my world, you cannot control children. You can to an extent. You can have routines, but they could be coughs, colds, teething, just having a bad day. And that will send the structure out of sync. And I'm sure mothers who are listening in can appreciate that they can have the most structured work day, go home, feel like it's going to be dinner, prayer time, bath time, bed, and it just does not go according to plan. That's
right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's the flexibility, because you can have structure and be flexible, or you can be that structured person who's very rigid. And that rigid person, they wind up being burnt out and overwhelmed because they don't understand that you cannot control every aspect of your life. There are things that I have on my calendar, and as a realtor, anything can happen. And I have to be ready for that anything. So then I go to my calendar and see, what can I maneuver around? And a lot of times I may have a call coming in on one line and I'm texting on another line, because life happens. And we have to be flexible to that, or we will be so stressed out, we won't get ourselves together. So we have to have flexibility, absolutely.
I like that. I like flexibility. And I think that is the reality, isn't it? As a mother, you just have to, I think you're going to have to just go with it. Have a structure, have a routine, and just go with it. If it doesn't work that day, it's okay. Try again tomorrow. So I feel like I'm getting so much from this, but I really need to give, if you were to give like five of your tips on how you can be more productive in your day, or even free if you like, what would they be just to break free today? Of course, getting your book would help as well, wouldn't it? Getting that book on my list.
So I would say the first thing is being clear on your goals. And when I say being clear, people can write a overall goal, but even that overall goal needs to be more specific. I've had people say, I want to make six figures this year. And then my question is, okay, what does that mean? Because six figures starts at 100,000 and it goes all the way up to 999,999. So where on that spectrum are you trying to go? Because then from there, we need to narrow those goals down. It's great to have an overall goal, but you also need to have goals for your day. That no matter what happens in this day, I need to get these two or three things done, no matter what. And that needs to go for every single day. And these goals are feeding your bottom line for the week, the month, the quarter, and the year. And I know some people will say, oh my gosh, that sounds so tedious. It's really not. It's really not. And I teach my clients how to break their goals down and really simplify them. The other thing is knowing how much your time is worth and the value of your time. And that's where you learn to say no. Mm-hmm. That's when you understand your bandwidth. That's when you understand, just because I can doesn't mean that I should. So you have to know the value and worth of your time, because once you spend it, you don't get it back. Again, there's only 24 hours. You don't get to 5 o'clock and say, okay, I know this day ends at 11:59, but can I get three more out? You don't get to do that. Once you spend the time, it is spent. And I think those would be the two biggest things, because with clients, those two take up the most time. Literally not dealing with the to-do list and calendar situation, but goals, understanding, knowing that you have permission to be greater than what people said that you could or should be. and breaking outside of the box that you allowed yourself to be put into. That takes the biggest amount of time, giving people permission to be great. And that sounds weird, but we would be surprised as to how many folks are waiting for permission to excel.
I love that. And I love that is the end. I'm going to have to say, do not wait for permission to excel. I love that. That is a great, that's like, should be your quote. Thank you. I feel like, one, I've got permission to scrap the to-do list. I don't know how I'm going to do it, but I feel like I need to do it now because I feel like you're watching me somehow. Like you're going to tell me off. But also on a real subject, I think that we need to get better as individuals to create this structure in our life, to be more productive and to take the power back, really, isn't it? Power back for our life. Because we say we've lost control, we've lost this, but we have the control if we accept it back. So I'm really grateful that you've come on today. And I'm pretty sure that there are going to be a number of people rushing away to find out, first, your book. When is it going to be released? Let us know. When is that going to be released?
Oh, it'll probably be in another 2 to 3 weeks.
Amazing. So that's probably when this is going to land, which is brilliant. And we also want to know where to find you. So where can we find you?
So the easiest place to find me, where I'm always lurking, is on my website, and it is nishikamelton.com. So my first and last name.com. And you're able to book a free cut the BS call with me. You're also able to find my books, and book number 3 will be on the site in about 2 to 3 weeks.
Fabulous. Are you on any other social media platforms if we wanted to follow you there?
Yes. And by actually, when you go to the website, you're actually able to click on all of the social media logos to find me on there as well.
Fantastic. So they will be just below, probably below here. You'll see all the social medias to follow. But what I would also say is go and get that book. Everyone needs to be more productive. So that is on my list. I cannot wait to apply it. I'm going to share with you as well and say, look what I'm doing. I'm getting excited about that. And I just want to say that we need to get you back on at some point, because I think there's going to be some transformational stories coming from this and we want to share them. So thank you so much. Go ahead, go run and go and follow. And also remember to like, subscribe, share to people that would benefit from this episode. And look out for the next episode coming out. Thank you so much for being here today.